Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The 85th Academy Awards just over 2 weeks away, so this hour we thought we would give you plenty of time to see a whole lot of movies if you plan on watching the awards, and many of us watch them. And it's kind of a fun way to spend a weekend, or you can space them out over the next 2 weeks to make sure you see what our guest may recommend. There's a bit of controversy, there always is, about these movies. It would have appeared a couple months ago that Lincoln was the front runner here. Now it appears that Argo may be likely to win. We'll talk about some fabulous performances and some movies that are not as well noticed that you want to make sure that you see. We're going to hear clips from movies during this hour. We're just continuing having fun on Thursday. This is our fun Thursday. Chuck Walton is our guest. Chuck is editor-in-chief of Fandango. He's been an entertainment editor and writer for more than 15 years, was previously an interactive producer at Sony Pictures and Revolution Studios site MediaTrip.com and content manager at Hollywood.com. He's also served as a field reporter for Newsweek magazine and contributing editor of the Pocketbook's bio, Courtney Love, Queen of Noise. Welcoming phone calls from you if you'd like to nominate Best Film, Best Actor, Best Documentary. We'd love to hear from you during this hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. In just a moment, we're going to play a clip from Argo, because for whatever reason, Argo has become now the likely to win Best Picture of the Year. I don't know. Chuck, hi. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
What is it with Argo? Why has it become now? It was assumed it was going to be Lincoln a couple months ago, and now it's Argo.
Yeah, you know, I think there are a few reasons. One, it's a great movie. Two, you know, it's got some serious subject matter. It is about the Iranian situation in the early 80s, but it's very accessible. It did well at the box office. It made over $120 million, and I think a lot of people just have sort of picked it out to be the film that's, you know, it's got a serious topic which appeals to the Academy voters, but it's an entertaining film. It's got a great story to tell.
Mm-hmm. Some are saying that it is a chance for the Academy to tell Ben Affleck, we do now take you seriously.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Even though it wasn't nominated in the Best Directing category, it did win Best Picture at the Golden Globes. It won at the Producers Guild, Directors Guild, and SAG Awards for Best Ensemble. So it's definitely become the front runner in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear a little bit of it. This is from Argo.
Where is your passport issued?
Vancouver.
Where were we born?
Toronto.
Toronto. Canadians don't pronounce the T.
Some Comité guard is actually going to know that.
If you're detained for questioning, they will bring in someone who knows that. Yes.
Mary, who were the last three prime ministers of Canada?
Trudeau, Pearson, and Diefenbaker.
What's your father's name?
Howard.
What's his occupation?
Fisherman.
Where were you born?
Halifax, Nova Scotia.
What's your date of birth?
February 21st, 1952.
Good. What's your job on the movie?
Producer.
Associate producer. What was the last movie you produced?
High and Dry.
Who paid for that?
CFDC.
What's your middle name? What's your middle name? What's your middle name?
Leon?
Shoot him. He's an American spy. Look, they're going to try to break you, okay? By trying to get you agitated. You have to know your resume back to front.
You really believe your little story is going to make a difference when there's a gun to our heads?
I think my story is the only thing between you and a gun to your head.
It's interesting to just hear the audio. I was just on the edge of my seat. Weren't you, Chuck?
Yeah, yeah. It's a thrilling film. It's surprising that Affleck wasn't directed, because it's a very well-constructed movie. It's, even though a lot of people might, well, at least some people would know the story and know the end result, it builds that tension, and by the finale, you're really drawn into the film. So I think it's one that went over well with audiences and with Academy voters. Again, it's a surprise that Affleck didn't get the directing nomination, but he's got all these other accolades this season, and it looks like it will be the film to win.
It's an interesting story. It's a true story. It just didn't make many headlines when it happened.
Right,
because
right.
It couldn't.
And then when you watch the film, you'll just, when you see all of the like little intricacies that turn out to be real facts of the story. It's just a fun movie, and it's very thrilling, and has relevance to today's political climate.
Now, the film that was supposed to have been easily the winner of this was Lincoln. I do think Daniel Day-Lewis,
sure,
who gave an extraordinary performance, is going to win Best Actor. I could be wrong. Maybe you disagree. But why did that slip from number one?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it is momentum. I think you're right. Daniel Day-Lewis will win Best Actor at the Academy Awards. Part of it is probably that, you know, Spielberg and Daniel Day-Lewis, they've made a lot of great films over the years, and they've been nominated, and they've won quite a bit. This is Spielberg's seventh directing nomination, and Daniel Day-Lewis's fifth acting nomination. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, with these award seasons, as the months go by, there's just momentum that builds behind certain films, and other films start to fall behind a little bit. But at least you'll see Daniel Day-Lewis stand up there on the podium for Best Actor, and he deserves it.
I read somewhere that if he wins, it will be a historic win, because he will have won more Best Acting awards than any other actor, male actor. Is that right?
That's correct. And you know, every time he's up in a film, you pretty much can count on him to be nominated in if it's lead or supporting role. You know, he doesn't make that many movies, but his prep time, I read in articles that he takes years to prepare, and that's evident, especially in this film.
Can you imagine being given the role of Abraham Lincoln? Oh, my gosh.
Right. That's a huge responsibility, yeah, across the bear.
Right. Let's hear a little bit from Lincoln.
Euclid's first common notion is this. Things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. That's a rule of mathematical reasoning. It's true because it works. Has done and always will do. In his book, Euclid says this is self-evident. You see, there it is, even in that 2,000-year-old book of mechanical law, it is a self-evident truth that things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other.
It was quite a task, because we've heard so much about Lincoln's voice, to capture Lincoln's voice, and I really believe he did that. And he spent a lot of time trying to figure out what that voice should be.
Absolutely.
Chuck.
Yeah, in both voice and appearance, mannerism, everything that you've read about Lincoln, he's the embodiment of all those things. And that really came across for mainstream audiences, too, that Lincoln has made over $170 million at the box office. And it is the leading film, at least as far as nominations at the Oscars, but it just, like, Argo has a little bit more momentum. But if there is an upset for Best Picture, I would expect it to be Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Which one would you choose?
I'm actually a big fan of Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, I think it's a great film. You know, I know a lot of the critics have made their Best Picture selection for a lot of the critics groups. It seems, again, that a little bit of the politics of it, of the film itself, kind of diluted its popularity as award season went on. But I think it's a great film, and I am... a little disappointed that Catherine Bigelow also wasn't nominated for Best Director for that film. There were actually a lot of snubs in the Best Director category this year. So Affleck for Argo, Catherine Bigelow for Zero Dark Thirty, Quentin Tarantino was not nominated for Django Unchained, and Tom Hooper wasn't nominated for Les Miserables. So,
mm-hmm.
A bit surprising in the directing category.
Let's talk a little bit more about Zero Dark Thirty, been described as a tightly wound political thriller like All the King's Men, mixed with Bigelow's 2008 Best Picture winner, The Hurt Locker. It's quite a description.
Absolutely, and I think it's an apt description. And it's a great film. She won for The Hurt Locker, but I would say between the two movies, this one, at least as far as the scope of the film, it's a bigger canvas, and it's a better film.
I haven't seen this yet. I'll have to see it.
Oh, you'll love it. You'll love it. Have you seen Silver Linings Playbook? That's also
no.
A good one.
No, I have to. I was realizing during last hour, I have to go to the movies this weekend because I'm having the show with you. I usually see, and I feel like this year I've seen a whole lot of these films, but I haven't seen a whole lot of them. So those are two that I really want to see. Tell me about that one. Is it fluffy or is it substantial? It has a treatment of mental illness theme,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It's a little bit of both. It's sort of an unconventional love story. It's about Bradley Cooper's character, who has just been released from a mental hospital for some issues that he's had and issues he's had with his ex-wife. And then it's the love story between him and Jennifer Lawrence's character, and she plays someone who's also been damaged in life and is a widow. And it's just sort of about their relationship and the people around them. But it's great because it's funny. It's also really entertaining. It has a good message, about folks who deal with these issues. And that film was the only one nominated in all of the four major acting categories. Bradley Cooper was nominated for Best Actor, Jennifer Lawrence for Best Actress, Robert De Niro for Best Supporting Actor, and Jackie Weaver for Best Supporting Actress. So it's a great film, and it was number three at the box office this past weekend, so I would definitely go check that out.
Okay, I'll go see that tomorrow. She's only 22 years old. Isn't that amazing?
Right, can you believe that?
It's hard to believe. That is so young to receive. You wonder if somebody gets an award, if she should win it. What does that do to your life? I'm 22 and I received the Academy Award for Best Actress.
And she's likely to win it. She is the front runner in the category. And she's a great actress, though. She was nominated for Winter's Bone previously. And she was already a huge movie star, being the star of the Hunger Games series.
Right.
So she is legitimately a really talented actress, and she seems to have a good head on her shoulders. So I expect her to win. I expect her to go on to other great films.
Let's hear a little bit from Silver Linings Playbook.
What meds are you on?
Me? None. I used to be on lithium and Seroquel and Abilify, but I don't take them anymore. No. They make me foggy, and they also make me bloated.
Yeah, I was on Xanax and Effexor, but I agree, it wasn't as sharp, so I stopped.
You ever take Klonopin?
Klonopin, yeah.
Right?
Jesus.
Like, is it what?
Yeah.
What day is it? How about Trazodone?
Trazodone?
Oh, it flattens you out. I mean, you are done. It takes the light right out of your eye.
God, I bet it does.
Let's take some phone calls. What do you think is worthy of the Academy Award, worthy of really saying congratulations on a job very well done when it comes to best film, best documentary, or best performance? What was outstanding? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And let's start with Paul in La Crosse. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I'm with you on Lincoln. I think Lincoln was just a great movie. Argo, I enjoyed, seeing it more as a movie than a film. But then at the very end, the Keystone Cops showed up. And they
right.
had Jeeps chasing a commercial jet as it's taking off and they're shooting, And how many times have we seen this in Chuck Norris movies? And it
right.
can't happen. You've got, I'll leave that part alone, but it just looks so stupid. It didn't happen. Up until then, it was very factual. But the guy who did this, the actual guy who got him out of there, said it went by clockwork at the airport. I mean, the guy was a professional at this. He did this his entire career at the CIA. And I think they should have focused more on that and just left the slam-bang ending, for the next Sylvester Stallone movie.
So that never happened. I was wondering about that. It never happened, Paul?
Never happened.
Interesting. Why would they have done that? Because it was so factual up to that point. Chuck?
Yeah, I think that's Hollywood for you. I think it's the difference between something like Zero Dark Thirty and Argo, is Argo does have that, suspense formula, element to it, which you've seen in a lot of films. It's why I would personally give the edge Zero Dark Thirty. But, you know, the Academy also liked that kind of thing, and I think that is part of the reason why it has become the leader as far as what's likely to win.
Mm-hmm. So, Paul, you would give it to Lincoln?
Oh, by far. By far. Everything about that movie, the depth of it. The only thing was that in one scene, when he's standing outside in the Capitol, in the background you can see a sign that said the old House of Representatives.
Right.
Which, of course, it was the House of Representatives. It wasn't the old house until the new house was built. But, I mean, except for a little thing like that, it was great.
Well, evidently they got the Connecticut vote wrong, too, yesterday. Did you hear that story?
No.
The Connecticut, they got two of the representatives who voted for ratification of the amendment as voting against the amendment. You can't get something like that wrong in Connecticut.
Right.
They were pretty upset.
Yeah, it's only been 100 years, 150.
Right, and they had a lot of historians working on that film. So I guess mistakes can be made. Thank you, Paul. I'm with you, too, but I'm no judge. I mean, you can't say objectively that I'm a judge of this, although I did, mostly because of Daniel Day-Lewis's performance and focusing just on the amendment. I thought it was Lincoln, but you can't take what I say. It's not worth anything because I love Lincoln so much.
Yeah. It's a great
film. You do, too?
It's a great film. Yeah,
it is.
It's a great performance. I would say it's Daniel Day-Lewis's best performance.
Yeah, I think so, too. He's marvelous. Let's go to Anne or Annie in Eau Claire. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Yes, if I had to vote, it would be Zero Dark Thirty. I've seen all three films, and
right.
I quite agree with your guess that I think it was just an extraordinary film. And what I did like about it in particular was that they did not focus on the political side. At the end of that film, when what the nation saw, what the world saw as an image of the capture of bin Laden, was the group of, in the Capitol, the group of politicians and military watching the raid. None of that appears in the film. The film is totally focused on the behind-the-scenes characters who made it possible. And the tension in that film, I believe, was every bit as great as Argo. And that's my vote. Mm. Thank you.
And what about the treatment of torture, Annie? Was it very graphic? Were you upset by it? Do you think that it justified the use of torture?
It did not focus on the torture. I think that's been overplayed in the media.
Really?
I cannot stomach films where there is violence just over the top. Violence.
I can't either.
For just the sake of making sure you get the point.
Mm-hmm.
That never appeared in this film.
Hmm.
It was very much in context. Very little of it was spent on that part of it. And it really was about the character, the CIA character, the woman who played the lead agent.
Mm-hmm.
It very much focused on her role. Didn't overplay her as any kind of a hero or a heroine. It was really the story, and it was just absolutely so well done. It'll go down in history as one of the great films.
And you're saying amen, amen, right, Chuck?
Yeah, absolutely agree with Annie. And I like that she pointed out that the torture scenes have been overplayed in the media. It's just one part of the movie, but the great thing about it, as Annie said, is that it's a presentation of what likely happened, and it's an excellent depiction of that, and it will be remembered as one of the better, if not the best, film of this year.
Oh, I'm running to the movies due to both of your responses. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call, Annie. And let's hear a little bit from Zero Dark Thirty.
There are two narratives about the location of Osama bin Laden. The one that you're most familiar with is that UBL is hiding in a cave in the tribal areas, that he's surrounded by a large contingent of loyal fighters. But that narrative is pre-9/11 understanding of UBL. The second narrative is that he's living in a city. Living in a city with multiple points of egress and entry, access to communications, so that he can keep in touch with the organization. You can't run a global network of interconnected cells from a cave.
This hour, the movies you should definitely see if you plan to watch the 85th Academy Awards 2 weeks from Sunday. Our guest is Chuck Walton, editor-in-chief of Fandango, and we're welcoming your phone calls, your recommendations of what was best in so many categories. Our number is 800-486-8655. A couple lines are open, 800-486-8655. And we go to Jake in Black River Falls. Hi, Jake.
Hi, I'm going to have to steer toward Argo. I'm not really a big fan of Ben Affleck. I really don't think he's that great an actor, but I was impressed by this film. Also, it was kind of tough between that and Zero Dark Thirty. But that movie by Quentin Tarantino, I've seen that one, and it's an insult to even put that movie in the same category as Lincoln, Zero Dark Thirty, or Argo. So I'm going to have to steer more toward Argo. But I do believe that director of Zero Dark Thirty, that woman there is loaded with talent. She's a very good director. I was impressed. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. And he was referring to, how do you pronounce this, Django Unchained? How do you pronounce
it? Yeah, he brings up a good point. Django Unchained.
Django Unchained.
Tarantino. It's a lot different than the more serious films. I mean, it's in line with Tarantino's previous films. But it's different. I mean, it's profanity laced and it's
violent,
over the top violent.
Yes, I wouldn't see it for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Tarantino, he's a talented filmmaker, but you know, you either like that style of filmmaking or you don't. But it sticks out as being, you know, a lot different than the more serious minded films that were nominated. And Tarantino also wasn't nominated for the Best Director.
Mm-hmm. So there were actors nominated for Best Performance from that movie?
Christoph Waltz was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. He won previously for Tarantino's last film. And he's a really talented performer. He played a villain in Inglourious Basterds. That was Quentin Tarantino's last movie. And in this one, he gets to play a good guy. But that was the only acting nomination for the film, although there are a lot of great performances in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why it is that movies have to be. All the guys in my family went to see it, and they knew not even to invite me because I wouldn't go. But why does there have to be really over-the-top violence in some films? I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, especially with everything that's going on with, you know, violence in our real lives. And the argument about whether Hollywood is, you know, somewhat culpable in all the things that are happening. And actually, Jamie Foxx, who is the lead star in Django Unchained, he said in late December that, you know, it would be wrong for Hollywood to say they have no responsibility at all. Especially, you know, Django Unchained is a really violent movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think he would also point out that it's one element in our society where there are a lot of, like, violent things in all different forms of entertainment. So, I totally get you. It's interesting because Django, you know, has also been a popular movie. It's made over $150 million at the box office. A lot of folks would probably shy away from it for that reason.
Yeah, let's hear some of it. Django Unchained.
You said you ain't no gun.
Huh?
I said, you said you ain't no him.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
Mrs. Stephen, I don't.
Why is you lying to me?
Lying.
Then why is you crying? Why is I'm scaring you?
Because you're scared.
Samuel Jackson, the voice you're hearing. Let's go to phone calls, more of them, 800-486-8655. Carolyn Muscaday, hi.
Hi there. I wanted to comment on Argo, on the depiction of the Canadian role and also on the portrayal of the Iranians at large. And then ask you if you really think any of this matters, because after all, it is Hollywood. It's a movie. It's not a documentary, and we have to keep that in mind. The Canadians, there are cliches here. The American lone hero is the mastermind of the whole event and mission. And this contrasts with this pink-cheeked, really kind Canadian who's kind of in the background. And I want to say that while Canadians are these things, they are pink-cheeked and healthy and kind, they are also incredibly shrewd people. And that does not come across. What the Canadians did in that real story is really played down here. At the same time, the Iranians are all insane. All the Iranians on the screen are just psycho, and that isn't quite fair either. So while there are inaccuracies in the story, you know, it is a Hollywood movie, as I said. Does this matter? I want to put a plug in for Beasts of the Southern Wild, which was my favorite movie.
That's a great film, too.
And, yes, does this matter?
You know, being out here in California and in Los Angeles, I actually would have thought the Academy voters would have paid attention to those nuances and seen Argo as, you know, a little more simplistic than a film like Zero Dark Thirty. But at least so far, as far as the Guild Awards and the Golden Globes, it hasn't mattered, and they've really, you know, glommed onto it. And I think Affleck not being nominated for director has made it sort of into this underdog film to get behind in the industry. But personally, I think it definitely matters.
She said her favorite was Beasts of the Southern Wild. I haven't seen that either. Let's hear a little bit of it and then ask you, Chuck, to talk about it.
One day, the storm's going to blow, the ground's going to sink, and the water's going to rise up so high, there ain't going to be no bathtub, just a whole bunch of water.
She's nominated for Best Actress, isn't she, Chuck?
She is, and she is also the youngest ever to be nominated for Best Actress, actually to be nominated for an acting Oscar. She is 9 years old.
Hmm.
And it's a really good film. It's a quirky movie set in New Orleans, and it's about her character and her father sort of struggling with their community after a flood comes to their town. It's a great movie. I thought it was a little bit overpraised. I think it's a really good indie film, but the Academy loved it. She was nominated. Her director was nominated, Ben Zeitlin, for Best Director. It was also nominated for Best Picture. So it's definitely been noticed.
Mm-hmm. So we have the youngest nominee, and we also have the oldest nominee in Amor.
Correct. With Emmanuel Riva at age 85 also being nominated for Best Actress. And that's a really great movie if you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. I know. I have so much to do.
Well, the great thing is there's a bounty of riches at the box office, and I think, you know, half of the top 10 films are these movies that have been nominated. So, you know, it's a great time to see him if you haven't.
How is she in that film? That's quite something.
She's amazing.
Is she?
She's amazing.
Mm.
It's great that it was nominated in the Best Picture field. Having it and Beasts of the Southern Wild nominated, you know, it almost looks a little bit like the indie, what would have been nominated for the Indie Spirit Awards. But that's nice. It's nice to see things mixed up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear a little bit, if we could, a film that is likely to win. It's nominated for so many things. I would imagine Anne Hathaway may walk away with this. I am not sure. But here's another film that's doing very well. I also haven't seen it, but I hear it's really good. Les Mis.
Yeah,
who am I? Can I condemn this man to slavery? Pretend I do not feel his agony. This innocent who bears my face, who goes to judgment in my place, who am I? Can I conceal myself forevermore? pretend I'm not the man I was before. And must my name until I die be no more than an alibi? Must I lie? How can I ever face my fellow men? How can I ever face myself again? My soul belongs to God, I know. I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. Who am I? Who am I?
Hugh Jackman in Les Mis. I'm sorry, you were about to say it's a very good film, and then you were going to say more, Chuck.
Oh, it's a very good film. It's actually Hugh Jackman's best performance. Mm. Not necessarily for the quality of his singing in the film, but you know, it's a really emotional performance. It's an emotional film. It's unabashedly emotional. And I think that that's one of the reasons why it did also connect. It's done really well at the box office. And Anne Hathaway in the Best Supporting Actress category, she is the likely winner. And again, well-deserved.
Mm. I read somewhere, and I thought it was a great description, that it's like seeing it on Broadway because it ran so strongly on Broadway, except that you always know that you're going to get great performances because you've got terrific actors giving their all on screen.
Yeah, and they did something a little bit different for a Hollywood musical. They actually sang on set. A lot of times it's pre-recorded when you watch a movie musical, but in this case, they actually, what you hear is what was heard that day when they were filming. So a little bit different. I know some critics have kind of thought it was a little bit too corny, but I enjoyed it. I'm not a big musical fan, but I thought it was really good, and audiences seemed to think so as well.
Margaret from Brookfield wants to talk about that film. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. When I dialed the number, Les Mis had not been mentioned, and I was afraid it was going to go without being talked about. But I thought that Hugh Jackman was so fantastic. I didn't even recognize him when they had the opening scene because he had lost so much weight for the film.
Hmm.
And I just thought his acting was superb. And Les Mis is my favorite musical, so that might have had something to do with it. But I just thought that was worthy of being mentioned. That I think he should be nominated for the top actor.
And what about Anne Hathaway?
Yeah, she's okay. I'm not too crazy about her, but I thought she was. Mm-hmm. I thought she was very good. I thought the whole film was great. But then, you know, that I just love that. But I've seen all the other films too, and this is just, of course, a different category because it's a musical. So I don't know where they put that, but I guess between Lincoln and Argo would be my top ones for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Hugh Jackman deserves something for what he did.
Do you agree, Chuck?
Yeah, I think, well, it's going to be tough because he's up against Daniel Day-Lewis. But I think if there's a surprise Best Actor winner, in the acting categories, that could be Hugh Jackman.
Who would you give it to, Margaret?
You know, Day-Lewis is probably going to get it and probably deserves it. But I just think Hugh Jackman did a fantastic job in that.
Mm. All right. I haven't seen that one. I'll see that one over the weekend, too. Let's go to Sally in Middleton. Hi, Sally.
Good morning.
Morning.
From my days in my history class, and at the UW here, it was stressed that President Lincoln was as concerned about the South seceding from the Union. In other words, he wanted the Union to stay compact and together. And he was as concerned about that as he was about abolishing slavery. But that wasn't even mentioned in the movie. Hello?
I think you're absolutely right. They kind of really just made it about Lincoln.
Can you speak up? I can't hear you at all.
Yeah, maybe you should go listen on the radio, Sally. That would be good. Chuck?
Yeah, I think that really they focused on Lincoln's fight to abolish slavery and really didn't, you know, kind of include a lot else as far as other topics that he was, you know, heavily involved with and causes. So, you know, it would be great to see another film about Lincoln to address, you know, more broadly other things that he was trying to do.
Right. Well, there are so many things that you could make a movie of. I thought it was interesting that they chose the passage of the 13th Amendment as the focus of that film. They could have done many other things, but it was a fairly involved process of negotiation. And what an interesting thing to make a major film about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I think a lot of moviegoers, you know, come out of, like, knowing something they didn't know.
Oh, right, right. Thanks, Sally, for the call. Paul in La Crosse is next. Hi, Paul.
Hi, yeah, just some comments. Thank you for taking my call as well. As far as Ben Affleck and Argo, I just feel like Ben Affleck films they're so formulaic. And I think he didn't get the director on because they're still holding him accountable for a film called Gone Baby Gone that was, I think, just awful. As opposed to Ben Zietlin, who got a directing nomination because I think it's the performance he got out of Quvenzhané Wallace, who is a little girl of a 9-year-old. So I think that's much more deserved. Also, that film also got the Camera d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival because it was such well shot. And I thought, I really liked that film. And yes, it's an indie film, but someone else had really a great director, David O. Russell. You know, he did the Silver Linings Playbook. And I think he sometimes gets overlooked because of some of his antics that have gone on in some of his film sets that leaked out to the press and whatnot. But I really like David O. Russell films, and especially a film called I Heart Huckabees and now his new one, The Silver Linings Playbook. And I guess just one more comment. I think Daniel Day-Lewis, his best performance was, I think, There Will Be Blood. It was just something completely different. He was just, he made a really, really great bad guy. And as far as slavery and secession, I think they focus on what it really was about. The states were seceding from the Union because they got their rights taken away, which was slavery. So I think the big issue was slavery, and they really focused on the proper thing. And also, Catherine Bigelow, I think she's a great director, and if anybody tries to take anything away from her, I think that's wrong. She's much better than James Cameron, too. So that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I'm sure she thinks she is, too, and many people do. Thanks, Paul. You know your movies. Let's go to Chris in Fitchburg. Hi, Chris.
I wanted to call in because Life of Pi is a really great movie, and if it hasn't been mentioned, that means I don't
think
it has
not
yet. Kathleen, and
I have not seen it.
Both the older and younger Pi are just amazing.
Yeah, I have not seen it, but we do have a clip from it. Let's play it. Stay with us, please, Chris, and we'll talk about it. Here's a clip.
My name is Pai Patel. I have been in a shipwreck. I am on a lifeboat alone with a tiger. Please send help.
Tell me, Chris, why do you think it's a great film?
Well, it's just him and a tiger, and it's captivating. And for parts of it, and then it's visually appealing. I missed the 3D version, but it was really good in 2D. And if I'd seen it in 3D, I probably would have been, you know, yelling from the rooftops more. It was just amazing in the storytelling, and it goes back and forth between him just talking and then the story happened. It just, the older and younger Pi, how it runs together. They both should have supporting or lead actor nominations as far as I'm concerned.
Did you read the book? It was a big book, too.
No, I have to read the book now because the movie was so amazing.
Yeah. Do you agree, Chuck?
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think that's the underdog here at
really?
The Oscars. I think Life of Pi deserves more attention than it's been getting. It's like he said, it's just such a moving film, and definitely worth checking out in 3D. Just the use of 3D technology along with the visuals, along with the story, it's an amazing experience.
Huh? So you really like 3D?
In this case, yeah, I'm not a big fan of 3D for most films, but Life of Pi would be an example from this past year of a good use of 3D.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chris, thank you so much for the call and the recommendation. We'll take more in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. The 85th Academy Awards coming up in just a little over 2 weeks, and we thought the time appropriate to discuss the films now so that you'll have a chance to go and see them, because it makes a lot more sense in viewing the Academy Awards. Say, oh yeah, I really believe that because I saw it. So we're talking about the films that you really ought to see. Chuck Walton is our guest, editor-in-chief of Fandango. Chuck has been an entertainment editor and writer for more than 15 years. More phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to your phone calls, let's go to Joe in Oshkosh. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Kathleen. Though it's not one of the pictures in the running for the Oscar, I wanted to put a plug in for the movie called The Sessions. And Helen Hunt is nominated, actually, for an Oscar for her portrayal in that film. I think it's a really, really nice performance, very nuanced, and I think she deserves it for Best Supporting Actress. And John Hawkes does a really nice job, too, but I think I don't think he has a chance against Daniel Day-Lewis, who I think deservedly deserves the Oscar. But the movie itself, I thought, was should have been in the running for Best Picture, and hopefully I would think that it would get an Independent Spirit nomination. Mm. But anyway, I'm just wondering what the guest thinks of that movie.
Yeah, but what's it about, Joe?
It's about a quadriplegic who goes to a sex therapist, a very interesting movie, very well done, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Chuck.
Yeah, very humane movie. I agree with Joe. It's a really good movie, and in a year where we, recognize films like A Moor and Beast of the Southern Wild, it's a little, it's too bad that it didn't get a little bit more love from the Academy. The two main performances, John Hawkes and Helen Hunt, their relationship in the film, it's a very loving film. I think that it's treated with a lot of humanity.
Mm-hmm. And Helen Hunt could win something?
She could. She is up for Best Supporting Actress.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough, like Daniel Day-Lewis in the Best Actor category. It's tough because she's up against Anne Hathaway. And Anne Hathaway does seem to have the momentum. But
right.
She's excellent in the session.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you, Joe, so much for your call. Jane in Boston. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I have just a comment of something that you mentioned earlier about The Life of Pi. My son is an aspiring filmmaker, and that was his favorite of all of them, and he has seen them all. And I just wanted to mention that. But my question is, I know the short features are out, and I have seen one of them, and I was just wondering if you had seen any of them and what your comments are. And that's it.
Okay, thank you, Jane.
Thanks, bye.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have not been able to see any of the short features, but that's a great category. A lot of times, some of these, the smaller categories like the best shorts and the best documentary shorts, the best live action shorts, they don't get as much attention, but there's a lot of good filmmaking and a lot of good filmmakers who come from, they start off with those shorter films and then move on to bigger features. And also in the best documentary category, if I just want to recommend, in case people haven't seen it, there's a film called Searching for Sugar Man. I don't want to spoil too much of the movie, but it's about a musician in the early 70s and kind of what happened to him after he went under the radar. It involves also a big fan base of his in South Africa. It's a really good film. So if you haven't seen it, please seek it out.
I saw the 60 Minutes piece on him. And it is an absolutely incredible story, isn't it?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, we're going to end the show with Rodriguez because
we figured
he needs to be resurrected. He already has been, but right? we want to do our bit, too.
He's amazing.
He is amazing. And just what a story. Yeah, that's worth seeing. Thank you, Jane, for your call. Let's go to, and we have time for a couple more phone calls. Our lines have been jammed. You can get through right now. 800-486-8655. What's the best film? Is it Les Mis? Is it Silver Linings Playbook? Is it Lincoln, Zero Dark Thirty, Amour, or is it something that didn't make it to the nominations? Let's go to Marilyn in Waukesha. Hi, Marilyn.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I have a question about a film that was advertised in December. I believe the title of it was The Promised Land, directed by Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm. I have seen that. Uh-huh.
You have? Well, my question was, in December it was advertised as being in selected theaters, and then it would show in other theaters after the first of the year, and I have not seen it advertised.
I saw it in Milwaukee probably, life goes so fast. You know, it could have been over a month ago, but it probably was over a month ago. I don't think that it's going to be a big box office success.
No, but I don't think so either, but I wondered if your guest or you would have an idea of if it is still playing in our area. I'm in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, especially at Fandango, because we're so much about ticketing. What you'll see are, you know, films, if they play really well in certain markets, that they will get that expansion. And Promised Land is just one of the films that fell under the radar a little bit. But I do know there's new companies that are kind of working to change that, where you would be able to, you know, if you wanted to bring a film to your community and you had other like-minded folks in your community who wanted to see the film, that you could try to get the movie to that area. So I know here at Fandango, we're trying to figure out, you know, at some point, can we be a part of that and help users to, you know, get films to certain communities where, you know, maybe the studios don't know it, but there are a lot of people in that area who would want to see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Promised Land, it's another good one. I don't know if it's as strong as all the films that have been previously mentioned, but I think that the acting is good in the film. And Gus Van Sant's a great director, and Matt Damon's a good actor. And
it's an important issue that's underreported.
And it's an important issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much for the call. Well, let's go to Karen in New Berlin. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I was going to do a comment about Django.
Okay.
But I changed my mind. I want to mention another movie and get the reaction on The Master. Two people from that movie were nominated, and it was a very interesting movie, very different, and it was out quite a while ago, so I don't know if people even remember it.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I thought it was I thought Joaquin Phoenix's performance was outstanding.
Uh-huh.
It was I found it to be a disturbing movie.
Oh, yes.
Very disturbing, but well done, very well done.
Well done, and of course, yeah, and powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who's nominated here, Chuck, from that film?
Well, from The Master, you do have Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He's fabulous.
Been nominated.
What an actor.
For The Master. Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
And Amy Adams was also nominated for Best Supporting Actress. But I'm right with you. I wish the film would. It was my, other than Zero Dark Thirty, it would have been my other favorite film of 2012.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, people, because the reviews and the reaction was a little bit on the tepid side, and I think that was partly because the ending is more ambiguous than the other films that are up for awards. That kind of threw off some of the recognition. I think the studio thought it was going to be their temple for awards, but unfortunately that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Quick call, last call from Jerry in Lake Mills. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. My choice would be Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, which I understand did better in Europe than it did here.
Yeah.
But it's a film for everyone, not primarily for retired people, because that's the central part of the story, who for various reasons end up in India, mostly because their pensions didn't go as far as they thought they were going to. But it's a love story. There's a young love story going on, and then there's a another homosexual love story that went on for decades. I think it's really a fantastic movie.
It's a lovely film. I'm with you. I recommend it as well. Thank you, Jerry, very much for the call. Oh, Chuck, thank you. I wish we could talk again the day after and see if our recommendations made it to the day. Maybe we can do that. Thank you so much for being with us.
Of course. Thank you for having
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it was fun. Chuck Walton, editor-in-chief of Fandango. Now we can all go to the movies this weekend and we'll know what's going on. We're going out with, if you don't know this story, you got to see the. I haven't seen the documentary, but the story is amazing. This is Rodriguez, and the documentary Searching for Sugar Man is nominated for Best Documentary at the Academy Awards. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this program. Thanks to Katie Madsen for on-air production in our studios in Milwaukee. And thank you for being part of the audience. Sweet Mary Jane.
Dead black coal, silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane.